This is ENN, the Experts News Network, broadcasting perspective and expertise across the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We take you now to our anchors, Amazon number one best-selling authors, marketing ninjas, and all-around good guys, Andy Falco and Everett O'Keefe.
Welcome to the Experts News Network. I am Everett O'Keefe, one of the co-anchors here in All Around Good Guys, and I'd like to introduce you to another co-anchor and a really all-around good guy, and that is Andy Falco. Andy!
Hello, world. I'm so happy to be here. How you doing, Everett?
I am doing just great. Hey, by the way, I want to thank you for coming up with this cockamamie idea for us to do this Expert News Network thing and interview people and follow events and all that. Yeah, thank you for coming up with that.
No problem. I'm having tons of fun doing it. I really like seeing what you've done with our advertisements that are on buildings. I saw Angelina Jolie was wearing one of our T-shirts. It is amazing.
That was hush-hush. People weren't supposed to know about that one yet.
Sorry.
That whole thing about programmed release, But the billboard, hard to miss those, isn't it?
Angelina Jolie. It wasn't really the other person. It was...
Right, and if you in the listening and watching audience want to see this, just go to our Facebook page,
Yes. And
you'll see some. I mean, we've had pictures taken all around the world of amazing stuff with our logos everywhere.
Is that one building? Is that in Beijing? Where is that one building?
Actually, that one is in Beijing. You are really that you could pick that out of all the places in the world. I'm really impressed.
I'm surprised I didn't see one in Ireland when I was there last week.
Yeah, I'm still working on that. Still working on a contract with a local advertising agency there. It's hard. You know, we do all this online stuff, this whole brick-and-mortar traditional media. It's beyond me. I don't get it.
Hey, I understand that we have the chance to interview a very special guest today that you lined up.
Yes, and in fact, it is really my honor to introduce her. She is an Amazon number one best-selling author. She wrote a great book with Carl Stearns called Deliver Webinars Like a Pro. She's got crazy experience doing webinars. And she has volunteered to be one of our victims, I mean guests, and I'm really excited she's here. But before we bring her on, I always try to find some interesting nugget, you know, something unusual that people have done or their qualifications that people just don't know. What many people really don't know about Melody, in fact, I'm thinking her husband might not know this either, she was actually conceived at Woodstock. I mean,
what?
At Woodstock, yeah. Outdoors, mud, rain, all that.
I didn't even know that.
Who knew? I mean, really, who knew? So there we go. Melody, you are, thank you for coming. Melody Rush is in the house. How you doing,
Thanks
Melody?
Thanks for having me.
So, Melody, why don't you tell us how, just a little bit about yourself, how you got started in this whole digital marketing field?
Sure, no problem. I actually got started doing webinars and all as part of my job that I've had for many years with a software company. I was kind of forced to learn because it was technology that we had to learn in order to do our job. And over the years, I've done well over 1,000 webinars. And actually, I think I did 4 last week. So it's just something I do on a regular basis. So you learn by trial by fire and good stories and bad stories along the way. But overall, learned a lot of best practices and things to do to be effective when you're presenting and be engaging and have people stay on the entire webinar, that kind of thing. So wanted to gather that information up, and that's where the idea for the book came about.
Now, can you share with us, you just said one really important nugget, like how to keep people on the webinar. Here we are, we're doing a webinar, and we're complete rank amateurs at this. So what can we do to help keep people watching the webinar? I mean, besides not have me and Andy on it.
I think it's all engagement. So, I mean, it's really about asking questions. So, for example, one of the things I do is I start off webinars by getting on early, before it's supposed to start, because a lot of times, especially the larger the webinars you have, more people that will be on them, and I'll just start engaging with them then, asking questions, tell them to put stuff in the Q&A window or the chat window, depending on what service you're using, and just start learning things about them, and people feel like they're a part of it. If you welcome so-and-so to the webinar, if you ask a question and go, oh, I have this many people have done this or that. And then throughout it, asking questions, interacting with them, depending on what you have, whether they're live where they can ask questions verbally or whether they can ask questions on a chat window. You can do polls. You can do there's all kinds of things you can do to keep people engaged. But I think the biggest one is just asking questions along the way.
I think that's awesome. And Andy, I'm sorry, I have an experiment I want to do just to test this whole engagement thing. See, what our watchers and listeners don't know is that we've actually purchased a very expensive and new technology that allows you, the listener, the watcher, to interact with us right through the screen. And it just will capture your audio question and relay it to us. Okay? So right now, go ahead, ask us a question, and then we're going to take a second, and then we're going to do what we can to answer your questions for you. So go ahead, ask your question. Yeah, you know, I think the technology is not working quite right. Andy, go ahead.
You should have let me know about this technology because
I'm always pioneering new technology.
Wow. Well, Melanie, what I wanted to ask you is on your webinars, are these webinars, see if I can ask the question correctly so that it makes sense, are the webinars you do, are they mostly for the launch of a product, the launch of a book, or are they webinars after somebody's already opted into a particular campaign and it is in response to them coming into the campaign?
Yeah, most of the webinars I've done, I would call them instructional or educational training, that kind of thing. Because working for a software company, I've worked in several roles at the company over the years, but most of the time it's helping people get up and running with the software, answering questions, showing them new features, that kind of thing.
Okay. So is there, unlike Everett's experiment that just went poorly, are there things where you share the screen and they're able to kind of watch what it is you do with the software and that's kind of how it works, like an actual watching you do something and then responding in a certain way?
Yeah, I do a lot with, using PowerPoint slides, but I also demo a lot of software or showing them where to find it. Information out on the web, or so yeah, it's definitely doing some screen sharing type activities. I don't do a lot where I share the screen where they can do things. I have done that, but I don't do that very often. That's a little bit different technology typically and a little bit different audience than what I deal with usually.
So then my last follow-up question to all this questioning is, what is typically the tool that you use? Is it a Hangout? Is it a YouTube Live? Is it Skype? What is your favorite tool to use?
Now, since I work for a corporation, there's some commercial level tools that we use. So I've used a lot of them out there. There's Cisco has a couple tools out, WebEx and Event Center. I'm trying to think what the other one is. Adobe has one out, and so does Microsoft. So all of those are all corporate level. And I've used all of them over the years because, of course, companies switch out. I've also used GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar, Google Hangouts, and Webinar Jam with Google Hangouts. I've played with a lot of different ones out there. There's a lot of tools out there right now. There's a whole, I'll call them a new breed that's out that have to do with Google Hangouts that are maybe a wrapper around Google Hangouts right now. And some of those have gotten pretty good traction just mainly because of the cost. They're usually a lot less expensive than some of the tried and true that have been out for a long time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you in regards to tools, is this something you discuss in some detail in your book?
Yeah, there is a chapter in the book about that covers a lot of the different kinds of tools, because there's tools for doing live webinars, there's tools for doing recorded or automated, and then I call them hybrids that'll let you do both or a portion of both types of things. So it really depends on what you're trying to do, what's the best tool. And in any given day, there's a new one that enters the market as well. So lots to choose from. I also have out on my website, MeldyRush.com/resources. I try to keep that up to date with different webinar services that are out there and are available. So there's links to all of them out there. Almost all of them have a free trial or 30-day trial or 60-day trial or something like that. So, try them out and see which one works for you.
And I'm going to book bookmark that URL for my own personal use, melodyrush.com/resources. Is that right?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, because as much as tools are changing, I would much rather, Melody, rely upon your expertise and experience of having had over 1,000 webinars. I think I've held 20, 30 in my life. I'm not sure, but just your experience in that, I would much rather follow your experience as you've evaluated those tools. Certainly, you're far more qualified than Andy or I in that regard. Now, if for someone who's approaching webinars for the first time, what advice would you give someone who's just about to conduct their first webinar or considering going into using webinars to build their brand or sell a product? What advice would you give them?
A couple things. I would say practice with the technology. Certainly your presentation is important, but the technology, especially if you're not very technical. The second thing I would say is to get somebody to help you. I mean, like I said, I did 4 webinars last week. I also was an admin on a couple of webinars for my coworkers because we had several hundred people on there. And so it's easier for the presenter to present and someone else to deal with the admin. You know, someone can't hear the audio. Someone can't get on. There's questions coming in. There's some that the admin can answer that don't need to go to the presenter, and then there's some that they can bring up to the presenter. So if all possible, have a facilitator, producer, whatever you want to call that person. I know there's a lot of VAs out there, virtual assistants, that's their specialty is helping people do webinars. So if you're brand new, I wouldn't suggest doing it alone. I've done them alone for a long time, but anything that's very large, actually almost everything I do now, there's somebody else on it. Even if they're not technical, there's at least somebody on there that can tell me if, something goes wrong with my technology, because there's no worse than them not being able to hear you, but you don't know they can't hear you, So it's always nice to have somebody that's on your side out there. So that's the 2 real big pieces is really practice, and get a helper.
I think great advice. I remember at one of our mastermind retreats, in fact, I think you were at that one, Melody, Rick Dilliott was talking about how to moderate a live cast, and I remember him saying that people spend all this time and attention worrying about the graphics and worrying about the tools, and maybe they've given some time and attention, hopefully, about what they're going to say, but they've given little time or attention to moderating the chat role, responding to questions, and I'm completely convinced that people's closure rate is probably doubles just with effective moderation of a chat role or someone there answering questions in a timely fashion. I was on a webinar, watching a webinar from Russell Brunson the other day, and I wasn't quite sure if it was live or not. And he was asking some questions, and I was firing in answers. And about half an hour in, I'm like, "Hey, he's not answering my questions. This must not be live." But sure enough, about 5 minutes after I had that thought, here he was. Oh yeah, and then Everett asked, and I think effective moderation really has a great deal to do with how we close.
Yeah, and that would be that's one thing I would say too. If you are doing recorded, it's okay to do recorded ones, but never do a recorded one and represent it as being live. Because, like you said, people are going to sit there and wonder, and you don't want them, them to think it's. You don't want to be representing it as live if it's not. And people are okay. They're used to listening to automated. We all listen to them, and usually we can figure out which ones are automated, but you just don't want to be felt like, you're being snowed under or whatever. So,
yeah. I hope you don't mind me asking you an obvious question, but how important is your internet connection to any kind of live broadcast or any kind of internet broadcast?
Yeah, the 2 most important things is high-speed internet and good audio. People forgive video, or they'll forgive, they'll even forgive things being a little slow, because I've had issues, and if you do many webinars, you'll have technical issues at some point. But as long as they can hear you, and usually if you have high-speed internet, it takes care of a lot of the technical issues you might have. Now, they may have technical issues on their side because they don't have high-speed internet, but you can usually figure those out. You'll start seeing a pattern of questions, and you know what it is that they're just not somewhere that's got internet speed high enough. So
I guess I'll get rid of my 54 baud modem.
Yeah. Well, and I would go as far as I would be wired. If I'm presenting, I'm on a wired connection most, if all possible, because that's a lot less. Unfortunately, right now I'm not on a wired because I'm in a hotel and the wired wouldn't work. But I work very hard to make sure I have a wired connection if I'm doing, you know, a webinar in general.
I was going to say, people generally forget barking dogs in the background.
Yeah. Oh. I used to joke when I'd get on and I would say, okay, everybody mute your line. I don't want to hear barking dogs, crying babies, or flushing toilets. And I've heard all of those at some point or the other in a webinar. I had one of my account reps didn't like the flushing toilet thing, so I had to drop that. But it's true. If I said that, people muted and I didn't hear them anymore. So.
Better to hear them than see them.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's true. And I'm sorry, I got to admit right now that I am in the dog business and my office is in a kennel. And
Andy, don't lie, okay? It's okay for them to understand. We have a live studio audience. It just happens to be a canine audience.
Right.
They laugh at what we do. And so you don't need to make up that thing about a kennel. It's okay, Andy.
Okay. So, Melody, do you do coaching in regards to setting these broadcasts up?
I do coaching. I actually just started a little experiment I call the webinar simulator experiment, where I have 3 to 4 people come on and do their first webinar presentation, 5 to 10 minutes, just so, because I asked the question on, I have a Facebook group, and I asked the question, what's your biggest, you know, obstacle? And 2 or 3 people came right back and said, hey, it's just starting. So this is a way to get people up and going, getting on, no pressure. The only people who are on there are other people that want to do webinars, so it's very supportive. We've done one. We're getting ready to do another one next week, I guess the first Friday of the month. And so it's been fun to see people get up and going and teach them, you know, just really teach them. So, yeah, I like to coach people, and I do some moderation or facilitator or whatever you want to call that position. I've helped people with that as well.
How are we doing?
Don't answer.
I take the 5th.
Melody, if people want to reach out to you to engage you for coaching or training or something else like that, what's the best way for them to contact you?
You can email me at info@melodyrush.com, or if you go to melodyrush.com, there's a contact page there, so that's the easiest way to get up with me.
All right, and for those not watching, but Melody is spelled M-E-L-O-D-I-E, not with a Y.
Yes.
E-L-O-D-I-E, rush, R-U-S-H.com, right?
Did I get that right? That's right. Way to go.
All right. Well, hey, Melody, thank you so much for carving out this time. I know you're in the midst of that busy business trip, and we are really grateful that you could set aside the time, especially, it's way after dinner time. It's almost approaching bedtime for you out on the East Coast, and we're here at the West Coast. We got to wrap it up. But thank you so much. We're looking forward to seeing you in San Diego at...
Well, thank you for having me.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you guys at the end of the week.
Thank you, Melody, very much. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Everett.
Awesome. So signing out for the Experts News Network. Please subscribe, like, whatever it is that you can do on the page where you're seeing this. Please do that. Certainly visit our Facebook page and give us any feedback or comments. Also, any suggestions in regards to topics you'd like to see covered or people you'd like to see interviewed. We are certainly open for that. Can't promise you that we're going to work it in, but we will do our best because, I don't know, we love doing this stuff. So for Andy Falco and Everett O'Keefe and the Experts News Network staff, which is voluminous and multiple, take care and God bless.